Baba Basra daf nun omad aleph. Ba'achas, and one of them is a field sheyichad lo, that he designated verbally, b'ksubaso, that she should collect from it the kesuba, without writing in a shtar the kesuba. And she relies on it more than any of the other fields. Ba'achas, and another field is sheichniso lo shum mishalo, that she brought in from her own house, from her father's house at the time of the marriage, and they evaluated the value and they wrote it into the document of the ksuba, and the husband accepts responsibility. Those are called nichsei tzoin barzel, assets that are strong like metal tzoin. And even though that it's not written as a enslavement to her ksuba more than anything else, but since she brought it in from her father's home, she relies on it to collect her ksuba more than the other fields. So he ends his explanation. So which one is Rabbi Huna excluding when he says that it's only talking about these three fields? If we should say that he's coming to exclude Lemut Shar Nechosim, the other assets of the husband, that if he sells her, the one that she is shibut, to the one that bought her, that if she sells her rights to the field to the person that bought it from her husband, that she says that she will not buy it, collect it for ksuba, so she can't say later on that I did a favor for my husband. Can't say so, because if these fields, although she has no special connection with them, she can say that I did it to do a favor to my husband, so he shouldn't be angry at her. But for sure, he's going to hate her, be a hatred towards him, if she's not going to sell the her shibur, the one that is meshubet, in the fields that she doesn't have any connection to them. Because the Amar Lo, the husband will say to her that the reason that she doesn't agree to sell the shibud, her debt, her deed, or her ability to collect from that field, is because because you have placed your eyes on divorce and on death, and you wish that you should have something to collect for your ksuba. Ella, but for sure, Rabbi Avon is coming to exclude lemoti nichse maluk, the assets of maluk. In there, she can't say that I'm doing it for a pleasure for my husband, because since they belong to her and she can refuse to sell them. So if the husband sold them and then she also sold them, then her sale becomes good. It's an existing sale. And also in our Mishnah that deals with the lichse maluk, the asim maluk, she can't say that she sold it to her husband because she was afraid that he was going to get angry, going to get upset with her. And if he's going to bring evidence with by witnesses or by a document that he bought him, the sale would be existence. They might ask another question. And this that we learn from the Mishnah, that if the husband is going to bring Edim or a document that she sold him the Nichsi Malug, it would be existing. Ha'amar Ameimar, but didn't Ameimar say, Ish v'ish shemachar b'nisla gunlug la'asu v'leklum, that a man or a woman that sold the Nichsi Malug haven't done anything, meaning to say that the deal does not apply at all. So why did we say that if the husband will bring a proof that it was sold, that that she sold it to him, it's a good deal? And the Gemara answers, ki itma da meimer. When were the words of a meimer said only heichad de zaben ihu umeis, in a way that he sold the field and the husband sells the field and he dies, ashi ihu mafko. So then the woman can come and take out the field from the buyers. Inami, or the same thing is, Zavna Ihi, if she sold the field, Umeisa, even, and she dies, so even that when she dies, he is not, no longer has the privilege to eat her fruits of her assets, and there is room to say that he would not inherit her, because since she sold it, her portion during her lifetime, nevertheless, also you mapi. So the husband can come and take away the field from the buyers, because of the institution of the Rabbono. Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Like Rabbi Yesh Bachanina said, Beusha, when in Usha, that's when the Sanhedrin was in Usha, his kinu, they instituted that a isha shebachra b'nichsi malug, that a woman who sells b'nichsi malug during the lifetime of her husband, umeisa, she dies during the lifetime of her husband, habal moitzi miyagra l'kuchas, the husband can take it out from the buyers, because he's considered as the first buyers, although during her lifetime he didn't have any privileges in the property itself. But if the both of them sold it to somebody else, he sold the fruit and she sold the property itself. Inami, or the same thing is, the woman sells it, her portion, to her husband. Zvina, zvina, then her sale is a good sale. And he can't say that I just did it to do a pleasure to my husband, because since in her own assets, he doesn't have a problem that she doesn't sell to him. So therefore, this answers the question that we had in the Mishnah. If the if the husband will bring a proof that he sold him the, that she sold him the nichsi malug, then the mekach would be a good deal. The Gemara gives another answer, v'yiboyiseima. And if you want, you can answer it like this, that really, Amemar intended to say that they both cannot sell the nichsi malug. But it's still, it's not a problem from our Mishnah that it's explained that a woman could sell the nichsi malug, because Amemar the Omar, when Amemar said that they can't sell, he holds Kirab Elozer, like Rabbi Elozer, which the Chachamim dispute. And our Mishnah goes according to Rabbanan. Tanya, we learned in Abraisa, HaMoicher as Avdi, one who sells his Koisha slave, a Posakim, and he agreed with him, with the buyer, Sheyishamshenu Shloshim Yoim, that the slave will serve him for 30 days after the sale. But Meir, Eim, Rameir says, Harishain, the first owner that sold it, Yeshne B'din Yema Yemaim, he is still included in the Aloch of Yema Yemaim, which means that if he beats the Eved, kills him, and the Eved dies because of the beating, so if he stays alive for a mislays for 24-hour period, then he's not killed. Because he is still enslaved underneath him, and the verse that states umeis tachas yodei, that he will die underneath his hand, is fulfilled, and he's considered his master. Bahasheni, and the second one that bought him, ain't within yemei yemayim, he is not included in the aloch of yemei yemayim, but he is considered like other people, and if he kills him, gives him a death blow, even if he dies after a year because of the makir, then we will kill him. Mipnei shei netachto, because he is not enslaved underneath him, and a goyish slave has the din of a Yisrael for all dinner. So now the Gemara explains his view. Kosava, the mayor holds that Kinyan Peiris, that the ownership of fruit that the first master has in the slave that he still remains his to use is kikinyan agufdami. That's considered as if he owns the body, and it's considered, he's considered to be his master for all matters. But the other person that doesn't have a kinyan of fruit is not considered to be his master. Rabbi Yehuda says hasheni, the one who buys him now, yesh nebedin yemi yemayim, so that he does have the din of yemayim. If it stays for a mace less, then he's not killed. Mipnei shu kaspi, because that's considered his property. And the Torah says, lo yukam, he shall not be revenged, because ki kaspi hu, and it's his money, because his property, because his body is owned by him. But hardishain, but the first one that he sold him, ein b'din yemi yemayim, is not included in the aloch of yemi yemayim, because she'ein kaspi, because it's not his money. The Gemara says kosovat, because of Yehuda holds kinyan paid as the acquisition of the rights to the owners that the master, first master, has for the fruit, lav ki kinyan haguftami, that's not considered like owning the body, it's not considered if he owned him, and therefore he's only considered to be like the slave of the second person. Rabbi Yosi says,